Hello and welcome to Hunt the Critic. I'm your host, Michael L. Roberts, and I'm joined tonight, as usual, by 12th Pier's resident film critic and connoisseur, Samuel Hunt, to discuss Denis Villeneuve's Blade Runner 2049. First up, then, here's your trailer taste.
Every civilization was built off the back of a disposable workforce. But I can only make so many. Shh. Happy birthday.
There is an order to things.
That's what we do here. We keep order.
The world is built on a wall that separates kind. Tell either side there's no wall, you bought a war.
You're a cop. I had your job once. I was good at it.
I know.
Samuel, over to you.
So, it's taken me a long time to find the time to see this movie, but I've finally got around for it for the purposes of the show. So, let me just talk you through the plot quickly. Ryan Gosling plays Kay, who is a bioengineered human, or as they call it in the film, he's a replicant, which is basically a artificially created human made to replicate all the normal traits of a human being, and they are employed in a futuristic world as slaves or servants for human beings. He works as a Blade Runner. A Blade Runner's job is to seek out replicants who have gone rogue or have gone off the radar for whatever reason, and what's called retire them, which basically means destroy them. So he carries out his job day to day, and he doesn't seem to particularly, he seems fairly indifferent to it, but then you would expect that, seeing as he's a robot, basically.
Indeed. Indifference comes with the...
Indifference comes with the territory. So he goes on a job, he retires a replicant, just as he would do day to day, and he finds the remains of a bioengineered human. And it seems that through analysis of the bones and the remains that they find, it seems that this replicant, this bioengineered human, actually gave birth to a baby. So this is contained at the moment in the LAPD office where they make this discovery. And his boss says, if it gets out into the public domain that a replicant, a bioengineered human, is capable of giving birth to human life, then we're going to have a war on our hands. Because the only thing that separates the bioengineered humans and real humans at this point in time is the ability to create life. I'll talk about that a little bit later, but that's basically saying if we put these guys on a level playing field, there's going to be absolute chaos. So she says to him, go off, find the baby who will now be a boy because it's about 5 years later,
right,
and destroy the boy. But obviously Ryan Gosling, or K as he's referred to, by the way, K is his serial number. His serial number is like K123 or whatever.
Right.
And so that is how he's referred to because he's not a human being. He doesn't have a name. But obviously he has mixed feelings about this because this is, this is like the greatest, it's like telling Einstein to, like, you know that theory of relativity? Like, can you just go off and, you know, burn your notes? Do you know what I mean? This is like the biggest thing ever to happen to his race, and he's being told to sweep it under the carpet. So he goes on the quest because out of interest, you know, but he's not necessarily, he's pretty torn with whether he's going to go through with it.
Yes, I see.
And so to say any more would kind of give away too much of the plot. I mean, that's sort of the setup within the first 45 minutes, let's say. And then it becomes very much... It's very apparent from the beginning that this is a film dealing with... I don't like using the word theme, but it's unavoidable. The theme of like identity, the theme of what makes someone human and what makes someone a robot, you know? There's been a consistent theme in sci-fi on this, like, think of AI. You know, there was the boy in AI who was a robot, but then he seemed to have human emotions. And we've had, even recently in Ridley Scott's Alien Covenant, the character of David was obsessed with creating life because he saw that as the last bastion between robots and humans. He said, the only difference between us now is the fact that we can't reproduce, we can't create organic life. And I guess it's one of those sci-fi films that's set in a future that's so advanced that the robots, they're not sort of clunking around. These are robots that look like human beings.
Yes,
you know, yeah, the technology is so advanced that literally the only thing that a robot can't do that a human can do is to produce life. So he's, you know, Ryan Gosling in The Search for this boy is standing on the precipice of that division. You know, in the background of that, there's all these questions about, well, if I feel these emotions towards this quest, if I have memories in my head that he is told that have been artificially planted in his head when he was created.
Right.
But he says, how do you know the difference between something that's been artificially implanted and, you know, something that's already there? Because to him, it's just the same thing.
Indeed.
Yeah. He has memories that are real because he's lived a life as a robot, but then he also has memories which he's told are implanted. So the film very much, it doesn't shy away from the fact that it's exploring these themes. It's quite, I wouldn't call it plodding, but it's quite pensive. It's quite contemplative.
Mm.
So all the characters seem obsessed with this theme in one way or another. Even the creator of the bioengineered humans, this guy has become a multi-billionaire from from this massive industry.
Yes, yeah.
Is obsessed with this idea, and he is trying to manufacture a bioengineered human that can reproduce. So the whole film sort of hangs on the crux of this, and every character, every time you think that you're about to get into an action sequence, there's a long sort of soliloquy about, you know, the nature of being a robot and the difference between being a robot and being a human being. So the film really doesn't shy away from its main subject matter, and I don't think that detracts from it, but I think having that in the spotlight so much, you know, definitely, along with the running time, makes it quite a slog.
Mm. What would you say makes the genre so ripe for these themes of creation, and have such themes become too ubiquitous in modern sci-fi?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting question. I think that sci-fi has always lent itself to, it has always been quite theme heavy because it's possible in a futuristic environment to manufacture a situation where almost anything is the case. And I certainly think that when you picture a scenario where robots have become almost as sophisticated as humans, you're able to manufacture a situation where you have two races that are almost like for like, but they differ, you know, in that one. There's a line in the film where someone says, like, you don't have a soul, so you won't care about what, like, she's insulting him, you won't care about what I'm saying to you. And sci-fi has always been fascinated with, like, if a robot is thinking consciously, like, how are they, how do they not have feelings, how do they not have a conscience, how are they not, you know, what makes them different to organic life and to human life. Yeah. So I think you can't really think of another genre where it's possible to manufacture such a practical difference. Mm. There's a lot of films, you know, there's loads of films about human beings that are about a search for an identity.
Yes.
But it's never in such a clean-cut fashion. Do you know what I mean? You might have someone who's a bit lost, who's looking for his identity, but you'd never have someone who's made of metal. Do you know what I mean? That is literally, it's the Tin Man in
Wizard of Oz.
Yeah. Wizard of Oz, you know? It's that on a much more sophisticated level.
Mm.
So I think, but then you think of, you know, you think of like Star Wars. I mean, Luke Skywalker, you know, there was a part of him that was, you know, felt lost and was searching for something. So I think it's inherent in sci-fi, but I definitely think the genre, especially the futuristic films, that like iRobot was another one. Mm-hmm. I mentioned AI, that picture life being that sophisticated. And I think we're fascinated with that idea of ourselves producing something that could level up to where we are, you know? And it's like, well, if that's possible, what is, like, what would be the actual difference, you know?